I'd like to read three very short scriptures. You'll bear with me. And the first one is in the book of Hebrews. And it's chapter 2, page 1447 in my Bible. Hebrews chapter 2, page 1447. And it's part of verse 3. Hebrews 2 and verse 3. How shall we escape if we have been negligent of so great salvation? And the next one's in the book of the Acts, chapter 16, and it's on page 1327. Page 1327. Acts chapter 16, and it's in verse 29. And having asked for lights, he rushed in and trembling fell down before Paul and Silas, and leading them out, said, Sirs, what must I do that I may be saved? And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt be saved, thou and thy house. And the last ones, in the Gospel according to John, John's Gospel, and it's in chapter 9, page 1281. 1281, John 9 and verse 11. John 9 and verse 11, he answered and said, A man called Jesus made mud and anointed mine eyes and said to me, Go to Siloam and wash. And having gone and washed, I saw. Many of you know here that we come from Aberdeen, which is a city in the northeast of Scotland. And in that city we have quite a big harbour into which some large boats come from time to time, and sometimes we go down to a viewing point at the mouth of the harbour to view, to watch these boats coming in and going out of the harbour. And sometimes there are some very big boats. Some of these boats approach the harbour but can't come in because they do not know the right course to take into the harbour safely. So they wait outside the harbour, and a little harbour pilot boat goes out and draws up alongside the big ship. And out of this little harbour boat, a pilot climbs aboard the big ship and takes control of the steering of the big ship. And knowing the right course to take, knowing the deep channel to take so that no damage is done to the boat, this pilot guides the ship safely into the harbour. Without that pilot on board, there would be a danger that it might run aground, it might hit some rocks, some damage might be done. But with the pilot on board, who knows exactly the course to take, he can guide the ship safely into the harbour. Why am I telling you this? Because the message of the gospel is this, that if we want to be guided safely in life and arrive at the harbour of heaven, we need the pilot on board. But not the harbour pilot, we need Jesus on board our lives. And with Jesus on board, with Jesus in your life, he will guide you safely through life, but he will guide you safely into the harbour of heaven. Now, I want to continue this theme about shipping, because long before you children were born, many, many years ago, ships out there in the ocean, on the sea, they had to find a way of conveying messages to one another. There was no computers in these days, no radios, wireless, or phones, or anything like that. So how did they convey these messages? Well, they developed a system which involved using flags, called semaphore, the system is called. They developed a system using flags, and a series of flags conveyed and message from ship to ship, or from ship to shore. One of the messages conveyed by one of these series of flags was this: you are heading into danger. That's my first scripture. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Dear friend, it's important that you not only listen to the story concerning God's salvation, but that you don't neglect it, that you answer to it and seize the opportunity to accept God's offer of salvation. And this offer of salvation is centered in one person. It's centered in the Lord Jesus Christ. And He wants tonight to come into your life, to guide you away from these hidden dangers, to guide you finally safely into the harbor of heaven. How shall we escape, the writer says. I'll tell you, dear friend, if you neglect the offer of God's salvation, there's no escape. There's no way of escape. Just as the pilot went on board that big ship and guided it into the harbor, if you allow the Lord Jesus to come into your life, He will guide you safely along into the harbor of heaven. Now, you've heard the gospel several times, no doubt. Let me ask you, the message of salvation was conveyed in it. Have you accepted it, or have you neglected it? That's the issue in the first scripture. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? What does that mean? Well, it just means, well, I've heard that message time after time. We'll hear it many times more yet, and you neglect it. Perhaps, you know, this will be the last opportunity for you to accept God's message of salvation centered in the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't neglect it tonight. You might just brush it aside and say, there's plenty of time, you young ones, looking ahead in life, see, I've a long life ahead of me. Perhaps you have, but perhaps you do not have. Friend, it's important that tonight you heed the warning in this first scripture, a warning that if you do not accept God's offer in the glad tidings, an offer of salvation, you will finally have to say to God, because we all have to say to God, we are all responsible to God, we are creatures of God, He created us. We will have to say to God, and we will have to say to Him, if we haven't accepted His salvation, we will have to say to Him in our sins. That is very solemn. But the one who comes and does not neglect the offer, but opens his heart and receives the offer of mercy, the offer of salvation, he can say that the judgment that awaits the sinner in his sins has been borne by another, and that other is the Lord Jesus Christ. Dear friend, have you allowed the Lord Jesus to come into your life? I give you this first scripture as a simple warning. There's no escape if you neglect the offer of salvation. There's another series of flags, and the message conveyed in the next series of flags was, I need assistance. Ah, that warning has been heeded. The warning message has been heeded, and here is another message. I need help. I need assistance. That's the story of Acts 16. Let's look at it in a little more detail. This is a prison that this story is centered in. And tonight, that night in the prison, there were two special prisoners. There were many prisoners in that prison, but that night there were two special prisoners, one called Paul, one called Silas. I'll tell you something about these prisoners. They knew the Lord Jesus. They loved the Lord Jesus. And it was because they knew the Lord Jesus and they loved Him that they'd ended up in prison. The crowds had risen against them. They'd been taken to the magistrates. They had been beaten up. They had been scourged and whipped. And eventually, they'd been handed over to the jailer of this prison to be put securely into the inner prison with their feet in stocks. You think of that jailer receiving these two prisoners. Would he feel sorry for them? Not a bit. There he was, looking at them, their backs bleeding, and he made sure that they were fixed firmly in these prison stocks. No escape for them. No escape for them. I suppose, in common in today's language, they've been regarded as a security risk. And he put them in the inner prison. So what happens? Well, they're there in the prison, and at midnight, the middle of the night, the jailer's gone away. He's gone away to bed. He's gone to sleep. In the middle of the night, these two prisoners can be heard praying, speaking to God in prayer. Have you ever prayed to God? You can pray to God tonight. You can ask Him to allow the Lord Jesus into your life. That's what He's there for. Praying. And what else did they do? We're praising God with singing. Their back's bleeding. These two men, their feet in stocks. Wouldn't they be grumbling? Other prisoners around them? No doubt they would be concerned about their condition. But these two men lifted up their hearts in prayer and in praise to God. And something happened. These other prisoners in the jail, they heard. They listened. They listened. Everything was quiet. This had never happened in the Philippine jail before. Can you imagine a prisoner going into some of our prisons and at midnight opening his heart and praise to God with singing? There they were, lifting their hearts up to God and singing. The jailer never heard them. He was sound asleep. Prisoners heard them. God heard them. God said, I'm going to waken up that jailer. I'm going to waken up that jailer. Then he was sound asleep. No conscience that he'd left these men in the stocks. And how did God waken up the jailer? He brought about a great earthquake. A great earthquake in Philippi that night. Such an earthquake that the very foundations of the prison shook. You know, if there was an earthquake in Basildon tonight, we wouldn't just pass it off as an ordinary thing. This building would shake. The windows might be shattered. The doors would be opened. You would certainly know about it. And these prisoners knew about it. But so did the jailer. What happened? It says, the foundations of the prison shook. And all the doors were immediately opened. Just what the prisoners had been waiting for. Let's go. Let's go on the run. Let's go on the run. Did any of them run away? Not one of them. Not only were the doors opened, but these chains that they were bound with, the chains were loosed. They were free to go. Nobody could stop them. I wonder what held them. The same power that brought about the earthquake, that power of God, that power of God held them there. The jailer awakens. He immediately thinks, my, the prisoners have gone. What will the authorities say to me? They will punish me. I'll lose my job. What does he do? He takes his sword. He takes his sword. And he's about to kill himself. About to kill himself. Ah, but somebody was watching. God was watching. And through Paul, one of the prisoners, suddenly, as he was within moments of taking his own life, he hears a voice. Do thyself no harm, for we're all here. And having asked for lights, this is the jailer, he rushed in and trembling fell down before Paul and said, come on now, Mr. Jailer. You're the one who put their feet in the stocks. How would you expect these persons to respect you? What does he say? Sirs, what must I do that I may be saved? That message on the flags, I need assistance. The warning's been heeded. Friend, heed the warning tonight. But then the next message is, I need help. What a moment in a person's life when they come to it that they need help. They need assistance. They cannot help themselves. We sang out of a hymn. If it's the hopeless case, hopeless, helpless cases, we all are. This man says, I need help. What must I do that I may be saved? This so great salvation that God offers in the glad tidings. I want it, he says. What must I do? Must. That's what can I do. What must I do? You know, what this man had to realize was that he didn't need to do anything, because everything had been done to bring about and offer a full and free salvation, not only to the jailer, but to every sinner who calls and says, I need help. And I'll tell you, dear friend, tonight, if that is your call, there's one ear that will be open to it if no others are, and that is the ear of God. If you call for help in your sins, God will hear, and he will point you to the one, the Lord Jesus Christ, who can come into your life and bring you the joy and knowledge of salvation. Who is this person, the Lord Jesus? He's the person who came from the heights of glory, came here as a babe, grew up in manhood, up to manhood, led a perfect life, doing good all around, healing the sick, the blind, the deaf, touching the leper, bringing in blessing to who, wherever he went, feeding thousands, so on, did so much more. But at the end of that life, he offered up his life as a spotless and perfect sacrifice for sin to God. And that sacrifice was accepted at Calvary's cross, and on him, the judgment of God that should fall on the sinner, you, me, everyone in this room, every person in this world, because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You're not something special. I'm not something special. We're all on the same platform. All sinners before God. And one man only, took the judgment that was due to the sinner. And God exhausted that judgment on the head of Jesus at Calvary's cross. And what does this mean for you? That as a sinner, if you trust that Saviour, trust the Lord Jesus as your Saviour, put your trust in his finished work at Calvary's cross and point to him and say, he was there for me. I should have been there, but he was there for me. If by faith you say that, you can come in to the joy of being saved tonight. What must I do to be saved? That I may be saved. And the answer, remember, jailer, what you've done for us. We are not going to show you the way of salvation. Is that the answer? No, not a bit of it. These are persons who love the Saviour. And their answer was, believe on the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt be saved. Now tell me, you young ones, honestly, is that an easy thing to do, or is it a difficult thing to do? Believe on the Lord Jesus. You haven't to go out this door and do any great feat, any great deed. You simply have to sit in your seat where you are and say to the Lord Jesus, I believe, come into my life, and you will know the joy of salvation. If it was that you and I had to do some great deed, some great feat, you know, we would spend the rest of our life boasting about what we had done to secure our salvation. We can boast of nothing. We're sinners before God. But your boast can be in the finished work of Christ at Calvary's cross, if you but say, I need assistance. I need help. Sometimes it's the last thing we'll do is to ask for help. Friend, your situation is dangerous. It's critical. Without Christ in your life, you're heading into danger. claim the offer of salvation tonight. Believe on the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt be saved. Another series of flags. And you know, I'm not a seaman or a fisherman. I got this from someone else. Another series of flags is pilot on board. Pilot on board. You're heading into danger. The danger's heated. I need assistance. The next series. Pilot on board. A man called Jesus. That man called Jesus wants to come into all our lives tonight. This was a blind man. He'd been blind from birth. The Lord Jesus saw him, he met him. And in the wonder of his healing power, he told that man how to get rid of his blindness so that his eyes would be opened. And as obedience to the word of the Lord Jesus, this man responded to the word of the Lord. And he did exactly as he was told. He says, go to Siloam and wash. And he went in obedience and he washed. And what's he say? And having gone and washed, I saw. And now, this person, a man called Jesus, is resident in this man's life for time and for eternity. It's not a temporary salvation that God offers in the gospel. It's for time, certainly, but it's a way beyond time to the countless ages of eternity. The Saviour that is offered, the salvation that is offered, can be yours, and it will never be taken away from you. And so that's the story of this man. You know, we didn't read it all, but as the story goes on, he's challenged about how he was cured, put out of the local synagogue, and he meets the Lord Jesus again, and he bows before him and does homage. Finally, he becomes a follower of the Lord Jesus. The offer to you tonight is to reach out for the salvation that is offered you in Jesus, to enjoy that salvation, but as enjoying it, to hear the voice of the Saviour, to hear the voice of the shepherd, become one of his sheep, following him in his path and in your pathway here, and as following him, being assured that his hand is to guide you safely into that heavenly harbour that we spoke of at the beginning. That's the aim of the gospel. You and I are going one of two ways, to heaven or down to hell. That's the solemnity of the gospel. To heaven requires that I must have Jesus on board in my life. Open your heart tonight and put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and your future, your eternal future, will be secure, and you will go on your way rejoicing. May that be your portion tonight. May God bless the world. Amen.